FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's August 2nd, 2017. Bitcoin has came to the fork in the road and they took it. And what does it mean to you? Well, Andrew Hoffman is here. And hey, any questions for myself or Andy, just email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. Andy, good morning.
Good morning. And yes, there's an incredible amount to talk about, including that fork, you know, today's article. In fact, I found that I've written more about this topic than just about anything in recent weeks and months. And the reason being that the world is changing in a rapid pace more than ever. And to me, particularly when I see stuff like this, I realize that the monetary system, you know, I wrote today that the technology in the world is advancing like we're in Star Trek and the money is still like we're in the Flintstones.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like each week we do our call, we're talking about more and more archaic things. You know, I got rid of cable television last week, never to return. I was talking about how banks are going to be gone soon completely. There'll be no banks. How there's going to be no more printers, no one's going to print anything or write anything anymore. And no more supermarkets. Everything is changing and nothing is changing more than money. And what I'm writing about this incredible system of a technological advancement that's still underpinned by this ridiculous. In fact, forget even the money. I said, you know, it's going to be gone, in not too long a period of time. And I don't mean like a year. Stocks and bonds. I wrote today, this morning, my article was called Immutability and Timelessness in the Dawn of the FinTech Age. And I'm thinking, I mean, how corrupt is the whole system of stocks and bonds? All the fraud that goes into the accounting, the regulation, the insider trading, the incentives for companies to issue it simply to buy it back and enrich themselves. And the same thing goes with bonds. You know, debt is the scourge of the world, and bonds, because of all this financial technology, the bad kind, like derivatives that have been unregulated and unchecked, has been able to, you know, explode upon the earth like this heavy fog that's covering it. And the world can never truly advance until it's gone. And I think, you know, you see like ICOs come out where you have independent financing of these corrupt financial markets. And you realize that the future is changing. People are not going to finance themselves with stocks and bonds anymore. They're going to be going digital. They're going to be going offline. They're going to be going away from governments. And pretty much everything that you see around you is becoming an anachronism rapidly, but nowhere more so than in finance because of all the corruption. And, you know, when you sit there, I mean, again, it's like, is the Dow ever go down? I mean, I've been in the markets now, Kerry, for 28 years. I could probably count on less than half of one hand the amount of days where I've seen like the NASDAQ down sharply and the Dow up sharply. And it's now happened four times this month. It's at the point where there's absolutely no reservations about how blatant the manipulations are. You have the Swiss and the Japanese bank telling you we own all of the stocks and that's all we do is buy stocks. And of course, the monetization of bonds and manipulation of currencies, watching gold in the same chart pattern every single day, all this kind of stuff. It's getting to be a comedy. And that's why when I see the advancement of cryptocurrency and I realize how rapidly it's going to just overtake this whole corrupt system, because as I said this morning, no matter how much technological advancement you have, until this financial system from the dark ages, which is rapidly destroying the 99% and enriching the 1%, until that goes, we can never truly advance. And now that you have the central banks, you know, remember it was just a month ago or two where they all like kind of got together and started to say how they were being hawkish. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Once upon a time.
Yeah. Janet Yellen and Stanley Fisher. And then the Bank of England said, hey, we may be like that too. And then the ECB said, yeah, we may be cutting back on what we're doing too. And then bam, just what it take 2 or 3 weeks. Janet Yellen had her ding dong, the Fed is dead speech. The ECB, the Bank of Japan, yesterday, the Bank of Australia, probably tomorrow, the Bank of England. They know that deflation is because of all this money printing, all the overcapacity, the deflation is just absolutely destroying them. And that if they don't keep printing money, markets will crash. And so that, you know, we're headed into the next phase in the very near term, let alone all the political and geopolitical stuff going on in this country and around the world. And I truly believe that, you know, the reason that I wrote, again, I'm someone who never makes predictions. I don't say this is going to happen right now. But I wrote an article maybe 2 weeks ago called "The Most Precious Metal Bullish I've Ever Been." Because the combination of all these things with the historically underpriced gold and silver prices because of the unbelievable, unfathomable daily manipulations going on. Now we're seeing the mining supplies falling apart. I wrote the holy grail of silver bullish statistics a week ago, and I saw that it's now expected that production will decline by about 30% or more in the next few years. And in gold, we already know it's expected to decline by at least 20%, probably 25%. So at a time where money printing is exploding, mining supplies collapsing, and then all of these things are coming, I think that we're ripe for the reset. And I don't mean a reset by sitting by a couple of guys in a boardroom. I mean the overtaking of the 1% by the will of the 99%.
Think so, huh? We're getting to that moment in time.
I do. And I think the catalyst is cryptocurrency, okay? It is the biggest, I was speaking the other day at the Denver Bitcoin meetup, and I said in front of the room, I said, this is the most advanced, the biggest technological advancement of our lifetimes on a par with the internet itself, and it is going to destroy fiat currency. And when I see how rapidly it's advancing, you know, believe me, what happened in May and June in cryptocurrency, that explosion, which frankly rivaled even the craziest moments of the dot-com era, was not due to just pure speculation, although there's plenty of ridiculous speculation going on. It's because of the dawning of a new era. The fiat currencies are destroying themselves more than ever. The central bankers have been laid threadbare by their manipulations and destructions of the global economy. And now that we have a tool to overwhelm them in cryptocurrency, it's going to happen as fast. I mean, just to watch, Kerry, you have no idea how fast the cryptocurrency space changes. And now I think it's going to move into the realm of the mainstream, and it's going to take it over as well in a lot quicker time than anyone can imagine. And the beauty of, you know, what I wrote in countless articles, today's immutability and timelessness in the fintech age, last week's coexistence of scarcity assets. I think it was yesterday or Monday, my audio blog was Precious Metals and Bitcoin, Twin Destroyers of the Fiat Regime. You know, there's only so many ways you can protect your wealth from this chasm, this change in the monetary system. And while some ways are newfangled, other ways are timeless. And gold is one of the few ways you're going to be able to do that. And to a lesser extent, silver and platinum. And when we move forward, the beauty of all of this is it's going to take away the shackles, of all the the misbeliefs that gold, silver, you know, are going to be the money of the future and we're going to have gold standards. No, governments destroy anything they touch. There's going to be no government, no government administration of money at all. Gold is going to be what it's always been and what silver has always been best, a store of value. And it's going to be liberated by what cryptocurrencies do.
Wow. Well, that is an exciting outcome. The question is, how's the transition going to work here? I mean, what's going to happen? There's going to be a catalytic event that causes this, right?
Maybe, maybe not. Look, I mean, a lot of people are going to suffer because a lot of people are holding their assets holding their wealth in things that are going to lose, let's call it market share in the financial universe. Stocks and bonds, aside from being more, as I call it, dot-com valuations in a Great Depression era, aside from the fact that they're just plain old, more overvalued than at any time in history, I think that medium is going to change. Bonds are evil. And bonds have been taken to new levels of evil by these central banks and governments, and it's unsustainable. And because of what cryptocurrency is going to do, and I don't even mean just Bitcoin, I mean cryptocurrency in general is going to completely replace this entire Moth-bit system and allow us to move from the Flintstones era to the Star Trek age. And when you talk about gold and silver, you are simply talking about storage of wealth. It's that simple. They don't do anything else except store wealth, and they have not been allowed to store wealth, principally because governments, for lack of another alternative, have considered them the true monetary nemesis for all of these years. And now that they're going to realize in very quick order that it's cryptocurrency that's the true nemesis because it's decentralized, because they can't control it, because they can't collect taxes off it, that's going to be where they're going to focus their energy. And given that the gold cartel is already running on fumes, because as I'm saying here, there's almost no supply left, you're going to get a gigantic surge in the price when the cartel breaks. And then from there on, they're going to be stores of value like they've been for thousands of years. No one's going to say, oh, we're going to have a gold standard and we need to be able to spend our gold. No, you're just going to, it's going to be the money of the rich, and the silver is going to be the money of the commoners along with cryptocurrencies and all the market share that stocks and bonds and all kinds of other collectible things that have been considered second tier stores of value are going to be taking a backseat to the new future of wealth storage. I wrote an article maybe 2 months ago called Decentralization, the Future of Value. And I'm talking about both money and wealth storage. Anything that you can keep away from the government, anything that has nothing to do with the government, that they can't regulate, that they can't touch, is going to be where people are going to be storing value in the future. And for all those people in our community who are hating on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, just realize it, that everything else that we have tried, that the world has tried to rid herself of fiat currency has failed. This is the most powerful technology in the world, and it is far more powerful because it's the will of the people over the internet that's going to finally destroy fiat currency and liberate your gold and silver prices.
Yeah, well, you know, you cannot really underestimate the impact of the blockchain for everything. I don't know if stocks and bonds are going by the wayside. I mean, how are you going to finance businesses, Andy? How are you going to...
The blockchain. I mean, they just didn't remember that new law was just passed in Delaware where they have all the corporations that you can sell stocks on the blockchain. And they will. And that's why, you know, going with all these ICOs. I mean, yes, there's a lot of pump and dumps out there. But there's a lot of... I mean, there's the same with the dot-coms. There were tons of crap out there. And there were a handful of massive winners. And then years later, there were massive winners that came along after the first wave because the world is turning digital. It's that simple. And more importantly, it's turning decentralized and it's turning away from government control.
Yeah, well, hey, from your mouth to God's ears, but how are we going to get there is the question. What the challenges are ahead. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be worked out. And, you know, I don't know. It's just... I see that.
I didn't say it's happening tomorrow, Kerry. This is not one of these things where it's like, oh, it's the future. No, it's the near future. And it's because, look, I'm sitting here watching the space in the Bitcoin space, for instance, and the crypto space, how fast things move. Like nothing I've ever seen before in any business, in any aspect of my life. I've never seen things that move this fast and how rapidly the technology changes. And when governments are not, and corporate boards are not involved, how unbelievable. I mean, to realize how fast the scaling debate escalated when things had to get done and how it's probably going to be for the better for everyone for over a very short period of time, it's going to be for the better for everyone. Because believe me, the uptake, just the Bitcoin alone, let alone these other things, is going to be it's going to be faster than the internet. And the biggest reason is because the banking system has failed us. And it hasn't just failed us in a lifetime. It's failed lifetimes of lifetimes, generations, centuries, a thousand years since the first one. And everyone has destroyed. I've said before, the only thing on a par with the destruction that fiat currency has been religious crusade. And no, not the religion, not the crusades, religious crusades. That's it in general. Right. Religion and fiat currency have been where more death has been wrought.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, the idea of decentralization of everything out there, you know, really is so appealing, Andy, because when there's one guy at the top or one committee at the top, you know, and it's a top-down system, it inevitably is going to fail because eventually you're going to have the wrong guy at the top and it's going to implode. And we've seen this throughout history. There's mm-hmm. nothing new here. And yet we keep going back to the same system. So a decentralized system where, you know, there is effectively nobody at the top is one of the greatest innovations of man ever. And I see what you're saying there, the benefits that can be realized from it. It's getting there because, you know, like that old Monty Python skit, it's good to be the king. Yeah. The king doesn't want to step aside and let the serfs run the show.
Look, America was built on decentralization. We left England because they had it, and we created the decentralization, which made us great until, of course, we fell into the abuses of empires and became more centralized, than anyone out there. But the fact is, what the difference between now and all those other times, from the feudal times, the Middle Ages to the 20th century, is technology. We did not have the information dissemination abilities or the technological abilities to do decentralization. Especially with, when 99%, aren't armed or equipped with the ability to really do anything against the governments that have everything and the one percenters. But, the power of the internet, but particularly the power of this cryptocurrency phenomenon, which is going to enable people to transact and earn money without any interference from the government. And of course, they'll fight it. I saw this big speaker the other day, and he said it'll be the big challenge. The biggest story of our lifetimes will be the government's attempts to stop it and how long it will take and what the damage will be in the midst. But they're not going to stop it because they can't stop the internet. If they want to shut the internet down, that's great. Well, then we'll revert into prehistoric times. But that's not going to happen. This is a time where we have 7.5 billion people in the world who are being negatively impacted by. I am just so sick. This is my life every day reading Janet Yellen says this and Mark Carney says this and Mario Draghi says this. They're a bunch of freaking morons who have destroyed the world with money printing and arrogance, and they get appointed by idiots who are even dumber than that. And we're appointing commanders in chief for armies that have no idea what they're doing, and all these corrupt congressmen and corrupt judges and corrupt corporate titans. And people have had enough of it, and they're going to use this technology in very short order to reset the system for a way that allows us to be decentralized. I've never been more optimistic. But at the same time, if you're not financially positioned, if you're going to believe that this status quo, and we have all the fatalists, obviously, with good reason in the precious metal community, because we're just so sick of watching this stuff. But this is just a snapshot in time. I mean, we're talking about 15, 20 years, or if you want to go back to London Gold Pool, maybe talking 50 years in time. The world is changing. It's going to pass the status quo by like it wasn't even there. And when we look up, pick a number, 10 years from now, there won't be a fiat currency on the planet. And guess what? Gold will still be there. A lot of the old, the newfangled things like stocks have a much smaller role in the world. And gold's role may be, quote, smaller, but it really will just be the same. It'll be gold. It'll be worth what it should be when the cartel is broken, a much higher level. And then it will inflate with the world. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a really interesting time, as the old Chinese curse says, which has been way overused, cliche at this point. But look, the transition's going to happen. Exactly how it's going to happen is a good question that we're not going to know till it's done. And really, the current system has died. It died almost 10 years ago, Andy. You realize that? And they've been keeping the corpse going with it's. We have a Weekend at Bernie's economic system,
Yeah, the way I put it is that the system peaked, the fiat currency regime peaked in the year 2000 at the turn of the century with the dot-com bubble. That was, quote, the best that it ever could get, due to all the fraud that was the printing of money from when we went off the gold standard. But that was the peak time. And then, of course, we had an echo bubble when the central banks fought it with their new weapons of printing money. And then, yes, the system formally broke forever in 2008. It's 1,000 times worse now than it was then. The only difference is that they're using the fintech of the time, the best fintech they had, which was how to manipulate markets. But now the manipulation of markets is going meme. Technology is going to be rendered obsolete by what cryptocurrency is going to do when the entire world leaves these government rigged systems and does it on its own.
Hey, and you know what, Andy? The only reason why we have wars and why we have this competition among nations is strictly a function of government to keep the people in line. I mean, if you didn't have government, who would care what China's doing? we'd be concentrating on what we're doing. It's all about these governments, and they're a holdover from centuries ago. They really haven't adapted with the times at all. And to their point now where the benefits of order or the lack of chaos have starting to be overwhelmed by their negatives, which is stifling creativity and really enslavement, human enslavement. That's what governments are about. That's right. I mean,
just look at what's going on in our administration, and we're supposedly the best in the world. I mean, this whole Obamacare thing, we're going to bomb North Korea. We're imposing sanctions on Russia week after Trump meets Putin and says that they're good friends. And, you know, I mean, can you imagine we're imposing these sanctions that Congress voted for, like, what is it, like 800-3? And I think the three were like Rand Paul and like Bernie Sanders. I mean, 800-3 to vote sanctions against Russia, right? Mm-hmm. You would think that the average American, particularly people like us who are like highly educated and really focusing on current events, would know why. Right.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Why? Why? I mean, what is it that we're mad about?
I consider myself to be pretty up to date on world events and what's happening. I mean, you know, I think I probably read more than 98% of the people out there.
You have to. You have guests on your show from every walk of life.
Right. Yeah. And in addition, I have people a lot smarter than me, like you and so many others. And you know what, Andy? I just don't understand what the hell we're doing. I don't, you know, I understand, you know, look, the purpose, what is the primary purpose of any organism in nature? What's its first and
survival?
Right. And that
reproduction.
Well, reproduction is a form of survival, right? Survival of the species. Right. And so that's really one and the same, but that's it. All right. After it's fulfilled that objective, it doesn't really have to do anything else. And that's what our government has turned into, a blob that only is seeking to survive. But, it, you know, like Matt Taibbi called Goldman Sachs the vampire squid of Wall Street.
Yes. Well, yes, the government, the vampire squid of America is the government.
Right. The government is the biggest vampire squid. And we've got them all. And they like to swim in the pool together. You know, they're not really competing against each other. They're really just jockeying for power. It's such a fraud, the whole system. So anything that decentralizes it, that gets us out of their massive grip and rapacious
behavior. And that's what I'm talking about here, that the people have never had the ability to fight back. Because, yes, I mean, you can theoretically, you can buy gold, right? Yeah. But gold, really, it's very hard to buy gold. Only certain people have the money to buy gold. And it's very difficult to get anything out of store, to transport. And the government's got their propaganda against it. So it doesn't take down the government. It sits there inertly, and when the government goes down, it stays there, and it's just as valuable as ever. Right. But cryptocurrency is a means of taking down the government silently. Everyone can do it, and everyone will do it. And it doesn't matter how much money you have, you are going to be able to participate, and you are going to be able to cause damage as part of the silent majority.
Yeah, well, hey, we're in for quite a ride here, Andy, and, you know, you said it's hard to get gold. It's actually pretty easy. Just go over to milesfranklin.com. And after you sign up for Andy's Daily Missive, you can go buy some gold and silver, too, if that's what you want to do.
That's right. And look, I said it's the most precious metal bullish ever. These are the lowest inflation-adjusted prices ever at a time where the mining industry is in complete free fall. And it's not coming back. I don't care what the price is. The production is going to keep falling because of all the years of suppression, not to mention that it's depleted. They can't find good deposits. They haven't found a good deposit in 15 years, and they probably won't find another one ever again. I wrote the other day. It's the last thing I'll say. I said, because of cryptocurrency, this might be the first time where gold and silver might actually be able to be considered investments, not, you know, the propaganda is like, well, gold, you only buy it because you're insuring yourself against catastrophe. Everyone should hedge themselves. No, let's face it. Aside from the fact that it's ridiculously underpriced because of the suppression, which is like a primary reason to invest in an asset class, because as I've been saying, there's essentially no downside. I'm saying it again because I don't talk this way. I've been talking this way for the last few weeks. There is essentially no downside to prices here.
Right.
Between the fundamentals and the fact that the whole mining industry and how little supply there is out there. So, but aside from that, because of cryptocurrency, I said gold and silver, they can go up 10, 20 times in an environment, a digital digital environment, and no one's going to care. The government's not going to be like, well, they're going to come and confiscate it and do 1933 confiscation order and windfall tax and come to your house.
Forget that.
They're not going to care. It's just going to be a storage of a value asset, and you'll actually be able to enjoy it. So people, I mean, my God, you have never been afforded a better opportunity to protect yourself and heed what I'm saying about the changes in the world. Look around you. Look at Amazon.com and what they're doing. The world is changing faster than ever. You won't be able to recognize today's world 3 years from now.
Absolutely. And we'll leave it at that. So MilesFranklin.com, FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Go to both, sign up for our newsletters. And hey, the Twitter feed is at Kerry Lutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Make sure you send us emails. We love getting them. I had an email here for you, Andy, but we got so involved in all the other that I neglected it. But next time we will answer that person's question, because it was directed specifically at you about a lot of what we were just talking about. Andy, all right, let's see what happens. We'll talk to you next week. And I'm in the middle of moving, so shows will appear sporadically. But by Friday, we will be back up and running.
All right, best of luck on your move, and I'll talk to you next week.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.